During Robert Brogdon's Olathe Buick GMC clearance event, save up to 20% on new models like the 2023 Buick Encore GX or GMC Sierra 1500. View their huge inventory at robertbrogdon.com and find your perfect match.
Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. It's a victory Monday, September 13th. Stephen St. John, Todd Lebo, Jake Gutierrez. Chiefs beat the Browns 33-29. And to talk about the win with us, and he'll join us every Monday during the football season, brought to you by El Bandido Tequila. You can get more information at elbandidoyankee.com. Todd Lebo, now you'd like to have some of that right now, wouldn't you?
A little early.
Yeah, or it's a little late, depending on who you ask. Let's talk to former Chiefs defensive lineman Bill Moss, who joins us. Bill, good morning. How are you?
Guys, how's it going? What a day yesterday, huh?
Unfreaking believable. And you heard some of the highlights there before we came to you on the show. And Chris Jones came up with a couple of big sacks. Andy Reid said that's as dominating of a performance as he's seen from a defensive lineman in a half of football. You know all about playing defensive line at Arrowhead Stadium. What did you think? Let's just start there. Chris Jones, now predominantly at defensive end, what did you think of his performance against one of the best offensive lines in football?
Yeah, so, you know, the move for him is, to me, is still questionable. I think he's best suited to be a three technique over a guard. But when the crowd comes alive, he comes alive. You know, when big plays need to be made, he's that guy. He'll play like rope-a-dope with you. You watch him play, and he's just like, he's going, going, and going. Then all of a sudden, he kicks it into another gear. And he did that. He came up big twice when they needed it yesterday. So yeah, he's a phenomenal athlete for his size. And wearing the Reggie White jersey yesterday after the game to his press conference is exactly what he is. There's not many defensive ends that play defensive ends that are 6'6 and 315 pounds. It just, they don't exist. All the defensive ends are usually long and lanky and get upfield type of guys. So, you know, kudos to him. Big game.
Bill Moss is our guest here on a Victory Monday for the Chiefs. And there's a lot to be excited about. Obviously, the Chiefs won the game. But let's talk some defense in its entirety. They were missing some guys, right? Tyrann Mathieu was out. Willie Gay was out. Frank Clark was out. Missing good players who they expect to be starters on each level of the defense. And it looked like it took them a while to kind of figure out what they needed to do. What are some warning signs out there, or are there any warning signs, since you were missing some of the better players at those positions out there for the Chiefs, with what was happening with them in the run game yesterday?
Yeah, so they're getting gashed, right? Pretty good. And there were times, you know, you looked at run responsibilities on the replay, and you know, they just got manhandled a little bit. There were some good seams and creases, and it felt not like a first game of the season. It felt like a playoff game. It really did. I mean, these two teams, the way they went at each other and exploited each other's weaknesses and took control of them, that's what it felt like. And at the end, obviously, you know, the better quarterback won. And it's frustrating. It's got to be frustrating when you do things right. And I remember Marty Schottenheimer. And we had Steve DeBerg as a quarterback, right? So we felt we had to win on defense. We had to come up with turnovers. We had to create the short field for our offense. We had to allow under 100 yards rushing and under 200 yards passing. These things were drilled in our mind. This is what it takes to win. And for Cleveland, you know, they did all the above, but still couldn't find a way. You know, it's really frustrating.
And see, you make a great point, because we talked about this a couple of times during the show already. And again, it was probably more high scoring than those games, but it reminded me of those Chiefs games where maybe the Chiefs had the better roster 2 through 53, but they didn't have the better quarterback. And you guys had, I can remember a few of those games where you outplayed the Broncos for three and a half quarters. But then on the final 5 or 10 minutes, Elway would make plays that the Chiefs quarterback couldn't, and they come away with a victory, and it was unbelievably frustrating. And if you're a Browns player, you did all those things that most times would lead to a victory for the first 3.5 quarters, but then you just lose to the better quarterback. And Bill, you experience that, mm-hmm. you understand that. That's got to be, like you said, incredibly frustrating for so many members of that football team leaving Arrowhead Stadium yesterday.
There were several times we would be in Mile High Stadium and know we had the game won and lost it because of John Elway. And it would bring full-grown men to tears in a locker room after the game. And no matter what you do during the week, you know about the greatness of the quarterback. You know about that. But you're preparing, like, we're going to overcome that. Because that's your job, right? That's these guys' job. They're going to win. And so you work and work and work and work and work, and you leave it all out there on the field, and then one little thing happens, like Mahomes running to the end zone, scrambling, like he's magical, and everyone else is just standing there whipping. That one thing happens, and it just takes the wind out of your sails. You're just like, here we go again. And I think that's what happened to the Browns. I really did.
Bill, I brought that up to Stephen earlier, and I thought it was really unfair of him to bring that up to you because you were actually on the field against Elway those times. That was rough, Stephen.
Oh, screw you, Todd.
I don't know if you needed to bring that up.
That's the kind of analysis that Bill can provide us, though. All right? We talk, hey, not only did it bring grown men to tears in the locker room.
Stephen St. John to tears.
Yes, a teenage Stephen St. John to tears at Arrowhead and at my house. And so we can empathize. Trust me.
Billy, what do you do if you're a defensive coordinator? Red zone plays, you mentioned Mahomes' scramble there. Maybe actually Travis Kelce got covered on that play, and that's why he had to scramble around. But there seems to be no answer for him in the red zone especially. Talk about the kind of weapon that Travis Kelce is and how it's just rare it is. And there's a lot of really good tight ends in the league. How mm-hmm. rare it is to have him down there in the red zone and not be able to get anyone on him.
Yeah. So for Travis, I mean, especially when you put him in motion, right? It creates matchup problems. Who do you match him up with? Do you match him up with a safety? Do you match him up with a corner? Do you match him up with a linebacker? All those three scenarios, he has an advantage over, whether it be size, whether it be speed or strength. And so it becomes a problem. But to take him away, you've got to double him down there, okay? And then, you know, we've had our problems inside the red zone with scoring touchdowns. I mean, last year before, knocking people off the ball is a problem. And and the trick play they tried down there, that was a head scratcher for me.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, at the end of the day, you kind of get lazy as a team when you have a Patrick Mahomes. Look what happened to the Miami Dolphins with Dan Marino, right? Best quarterback in the league, best player in the league. But you rely on him so much, you come out with no Super Bowl wins. Barry Sanders, best player in the league. Detroit, hand it off to him, make people look like fools, right? At the end of the day, he's so great that no Super Bowls. So Patrick Mahomes kind of makes everybody a little bit comfortable, and they've got to find a way to get over that.
Bill Moss is our guest. Getting back to the defense, most everyone's talking about Tyrann Mathieu not playing and what a difference that made. They were without Willie Gay as well. But Frank Clark didn't play. What were they missing yesterday in Frank Clark and Willie Gay? Because, he was one of the stars of camp, and they're hoping that he could stay healthy and add that athleticism and coverage out of the linebacking spot. But to be fair, they were down three defensive starters. We know what a difference Tyrann Mathieu makes. But how much could Willie Gay and Frank Clark, how much could they have helped yesterday?
Well, I think Willie Gay, just, you know, the way he can flow to the ball, the way he can be able to cover back out of the backfield, those things, I think, make a difference. With Frank Clark, I think that's a big factor, because if you get two sides coming off the ball on the edges, like I had, you know, Neil Smith and Derek Thomas, it makes a big difference. And then the inside guys, you push the pocket and things happen. I think that you're going to see a big difference when he comes back. So that's a key factor in it. Baker Mayfield wouldn't have all that time if there were two guys coming off the edges and the pocket getting pushed.
So what's the takeaway here if you're the Browns in this thing? You feel like, hey, we're never going to beat Patrick Mahomes? Or do you feel like, hey, we played with Patrick Mahomes, and you got to put that away and hope to play them again in the playoffs? Does this look like a team to you that's not going to go away in the AFC?
Yeah. We're going to see them again for sure. And I think that they've got to be happy. They really do. Moral victory, maybe. You know, they came into Arrowhead, and that electricity was back in Arrowhead. I was out there yesterday. My gosh, it was exciting. And to be able to do the things that they did to Kansas City, they're going to watch film today, and they're going to feel like they won the game. And they won most aspects of the game. So that's a big takeaway for them. This is a good team. I think everybody knew that coming into the game. This is a really good team. They'll see them again in the playoffs.
And there's every chance. I know that it's one game. Buffalo lost at home. Mm-hmm. But it wouldn't be the biggest shock to find out at the end of the season that Buffalo is the second-best team in the AFC behind the Chiefs, right?
Yeah, Buffalo's a really good team. But, you know, you got to win games, and that's what it all comes down to. And who's going to get home field advantage? Chiefs are up for them right now.
But Cleveland made a statement, and so it might be Cleveland. I mean, Pittsburgh, that was a big win for them, but I don't believe in Roethlisberger for the entire year. We're going to take a long look at the Ravens tonight, and the Chiefs see them on Sunday Night
Football.
Holding
the Bills to 13, though.
Right.
I mean, that Steelers defense is something.
But I think right now, if you had to ask me, it's recency bias, but as far as talent and everything else, Cleveland. I think Cleveland has an excellent case, even though they lost, that they could feel like maybe they're the second best team in the AFC behind the Chiefs.
Yeah, they're a solid team. You know, a big roster too, a lot of depth. I mean, they've built a good team there, and this is the first year that they've had the same head coach 2 years in a row for Baker Mayfield. That's a big plus. And so, yeah, that team is going to get nothing but better.
Bill Moss is our guest. All right, Bill, I mentioned we're going to see the Ravens tonight. It's the Raiders and the Ravens. And look, man, the injuries that they've had to endure in the preseason, their entire running back depth chart was wiped out. They had to go out and sign Latavius Murray and Le'Veon Bell and Devontae Freeman. But they also lost Marcus Peters. And so when you factor that in, what does that do to the Ravens and your opinion of them as they start their season tonight and will play the Chiefs on Sunday night next week?
Well, I think right now when you look at the Ravens, you talk about Lamar Jackson, right? And that's the big attraction about them. The rest of the team, though, I don't know. I don't have them as one of the top AFC teams anymore.
We'll see. Time will tell on them. Let's talk about some other action that happened. You were at the Chiefs game, as was I, when this was going on. I was kind of keeping my eye on it on the red zone. Boy, the Packers. What a stinker. I mean, Aaron Rodgers, this thing's been a mess the whole offseason, right? And that's part of football, being on the same page organizational-wise. And we mentioned, the Browns' roster's really good, but the Chiefs' roster's better at the number one position. That's the quarterback. And if your quarterback, Aaron Rodgers, is not getting along with the organization, it looks like that thing's pretty toxic right now. What are your early thoughts on the egg that they laid yesterday against the Saints?
It comes back to what you're saying. I mean, is he retiring? Does he want traded? Rumors of forcing a trade. Rumors of tweeting his other players to come join him somewhere else. Those things are toxic, right? And you don't go to mini camp. You're limited in what you do at training camp, and just they look like nobody's on the same page, and I that's hard to overcome. You can't fix that in a week. It's going to take some time if they get things going. I mean, but he's a heck of a talent. We all know that, 3-time MVP. But what's going on there right now isn't good for anybody.
No, it's not. And I think the other surprising thing, not only that Aaron Rodgers looks so bad, but for some people, they were ready to write Jameis Winston off. And look, he's been all over the place in his career. But you talk about going to a terrific situation. He goes and sits behind Drew Brees for a year. He's got Sean Payton as his head coach, a lot of talent around him. Jameis Winston could be a hell of a quarterback this year, and I think we saw a little bit of that. Yeah, 5 touchdown passes and no interceptions, right?
Yeah, Sean Payton's is a heck of a coach. We go way back all the way to high school together, and I've come through and covered him when he was with the Giants as an offensive coordinator, then became head coach. And he knows what he's doing, and he has a demeanor about him that's just likable. He's a good teacher, and it's no surprise to me what I saw yesterday with Jameis Winston.
Yeah, it was really good for the Saints, and they were uprooted, didn't get to practice for their normal practice. They lost a home game, played in Jacksonville. Super for them. Now, let's talk a little bit more about the West. We talked about the Raiders tonight, but the Chargers and the Broncos each went on the road and won games. Now, they weren't playing the best of the best, but when you're trying to establish yourself, going on the road and winning is a pretty good deal for both of them. I don't see real trouble for the Chiefs with any of these, but it's looking to me like the AFC West might be a little more balanced than maybe it has been in the past.
Well, you know, Denver's always had that defense, right? I mean, if you defense travels, like they say, and that's no surprise. It is a surprise, you know, what happened to quarterback there. To me, I thought, and it's a real gamble going with Bridgewater, but you know, it worked out for him week one. We all know the Chargers have a great quarterback, and they got a supporting cast, some great receivers too. So. Putting those things together, and we saw it last year. I mean, they are good teams, not a challenge for the Chiefs, but are good teams. So if they keep growing, they're going to get close. They're going to get closer. Maybe they split a game instead of losing two a year to the Chiefs. Maybe they start splitting a game. So yeah, I think you're right, Todd. I think even with the Raiders too, they're good teams and they're getting better and there's going to be a challenge.
Let's talk about Denver, that quarterback situation. I know you know Drew Locke, he's a local kid, Lee Summit kid. I think he's handled this thing pretty well from what he did publicly, talking about taking the role and going. He's got to be ready, right? Because the NFL, and you never know when Matt Moore, Chad Henne's going to be in a game in Kansas City. These things can happen. Where do you think the future's going to hold?
Bring him home, Chad!
What do you think the future's going to hold for Drew? I mean, I don't think Teddy Bridgewater's a long-term solution anywhere because he's older and he's been hurt a bunch of times. But what do you think the future in the NFL can be for Drew Locke at this point?
I think it's up to Drew. I do. You know, sometimes things happen too quick and you get too caught up in it. And you can lose sight and lose focus of what is actually going on and where you're at and what your role is. So, you know, I think it's up to him what happens. I don't think Bridgewater is the long-term answer out there either. And I'm not sure if Vic Fangio is the long-term answer.
No.
But, yeah, so, I think it's up to him. And he could start, you know, next week in the middle of in the second quarter. Something happens and you're the guy. So, and you have to just prepare that way and you just have to keep working and trying to get better every day.
Before we let you go, Ravens at Raiders tonight. Ravens are favored by 4. Who wins this game?
Raiders.
Raiders.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Then that'll be
how long is this John Gruden thing going to go? They're going to be 10 years on this thing or what?
No.
Yeah, I don't know, right?
and finally, we've all spent some time just talking about Patrick Mahomes. And Bill, again, you get it. You understand what a quarterback like that does for a football team. From the perspective of a defensive player, just – put him into words for me, because sometimes I can't find them.
No, you're right. There are no words. And I said I watched this league growing up. I played in this league for 10 years. I covered the league for 11 years as an analyst. I've been inside all the locker rooms. I've never seen a guy like him. Never. And yesterday, you just sit there and you're watching and say, "Guy's just unbelievable." How does he get into the end zone on that run? And it just, then he makes the throws and running up to the sidelines, whipping its sidearm, all the things he does. I've never seen a quarterback play like this.
That's Bill Moss. Bill, man, we're excited to talk football with you every Monday all season long.
I'm excited to be back, guys. Thanks.
Let's do it. That's Bill Moss, who will join us every Monday at 9:05. Todd Lebo.
I've never seen anything like it. I mean, it's just the guy has been in the league.
It makes you feel like you've never seen anything in your life.
In my life.
Doesn't it?
Like that.
Have you?
In my life.
better know it.
It is amazing. And the funny part is, like, Bill was talking about that play where he scrambled around, and we finally talked about it with Sam. It was just lost in the shuffle. And that may have been,
I've never seen anything in my life.
Like, the craziest thing. We saw the whole thing, and it was just, like, not even the thing. There are so many things that happen in that game. Wild throws and this and that. And he was just talking about the angles. He threw the one, it was looked like he was skipping a stone, throwing it sidearm to McColl in the first half. It's like, it was almost underhand.
Yeah, it hurts that happened, like, that was like first quarter. So it's like,
just,
it gets lost.
Whatever, just lost.
It gets lost.
It's just lost in the whole thing.
Listen to me.
But if that happens in the fourth quarter, that's all we're talking about.
Listen to me. I'm going to ask you a question and then we'll break. Coming up next is Adam Teicher. Are you going to give him the business?
No. I'm ready to go. Bring it on. I'm ready to go. I'm on Team Adam.
Tell Adam that Lebo wants to give him the business. Coming up next on Sports Radio 810 WHB.